I want to talk to you for a few minutes tonight, and I really feel like this is a time in the church, in Grace Point's history, where we need to lean in to prayer, where we need to say, Lord, we want your plan, your purpose, your will to be accomplished. And so how do we pray that? How do we do that? How do we seek God's will in those things? Well, first thing you should always do is go find out what Jesus said, right? You should look at what he said, and that'll give us a great place to start, and it may give us the complete answer. And so I really want us to look at Matthew 6, 9 through 13. We got one slide tonight. That's it. So if you take a picture in the beginning, you are covered. And we all know this, and this prayer, and Jesus taught us to pray. I love the old King James Version on certain passages of Scripture. Other passages, it's not my thing, all right? I remember reading the King James Version. That was kind of all we had when I was growing up. I mean, I didn't know King James personally, but we were a lot closer together than we are now. And so the King James Version is all the these and thous and therefores and heretofores and thuses and all the words we never use today. And I actually remember reading some of those Old Testament battles in the King James Version, and I get to the end of it and go, I don't know who won. It's so complicated. But I learned to quote the Lord's Prayer from the King James Version. And so I want to use that tonight as we're looking through. I want to read through it, and then we're going to pray. I'm going to ask the Lord's blessings on this. So Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray, and he says, after this manner, therefore pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's ask the Lord's blessings on it. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We just pray that the words of Jesus tonight would touch our hearts, Lord. Help us to realize we're not just reading some ancient text that doesn't matter today, Lord. We are reading your words. We're reading your words. This is how you taught us to pray. Lord, let it resonate. Let it settle in our hearts. Let it awaken something in us that so that we will desire prayer. Let it just awaken that desire to pray and just connect with you. And we thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do right now through your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So in the beginning, it says, after this manner, therefore pray ye. So it would be just like you saying, let me teach you how to do something. A lot of y'all have done on-the-job training where a new employee comes in and your job is to bring them along, to teach them the job, to show them how to do it, to make sure that they are prepared and ready. And that's exactly what Jesus is doing. He's already got his disciples moving. He knows who's going to be with him, but he really needs them to know how to pray. This is when you are teaching somebody on the job training, you're showing them the most important stuff first. Every one of us who's ever had a job, there's that moment where the person who's training you says to you, hey, really, really, you need to know how to do this. And you're like, well, what about that? And he says, hey, don't worry about that. Get this. This is the most important thing for you to know. You'll pick up the rest of that stuff later. And Jesus is teaching them, but he's also showing them this is really important. Now, they're going to spend a lot of time with him later, but he starts by saying to them, this is the way you pray. Now, remember how they had prayed. They prayed just like you and I pray, right? Jewish tradition. But there was also the tabernacle, the temple. There were certain feasts and festivals and certain sacrifices that had to be offered for certain moments. And Jesus is really putting all of that history into this one prayer. And so he says to them, this is how you pray. Our Father, which art in heaven. Now, let's just unpack it little by little. Our Father. Our Father. Now, If you didn't grow up with a good father, this one might be a little bit of a leap for you. But it's also a blessing for you that even though you might not know what that relationship is supposed to look like, Now you have a relationship with the Father where he's going to show you what that relationship is supposed to look like. So he says, I want you, when you're talking, I want you to talk to the Father. Have confidence in your relationship. If you have a good relationship with your Father, it's easy to have that conversation. It's easy to ask for something. My kids never once had a problem asking for money. All right? Maybe I made them too comfortable. I don't know. They work hard, and I'm proud of them and all that stuff. But I had a good relationship with my Father. I never felt like he did things for me and then held it against me. I never once felt like he worked extra hours to help me buy a car, and then he was mad at me and held it over my head. Never one time did that happen. So Jesus is saying, this is how you pray. When you talk to the Father, have confidence. He's not gonna hold this over your head. He's trying to teach us to have the right view of our Heavenly Father, that we have a relationship there. There's a deep relationship. If you see God as far away and untouchable, I want to encourage you to lean into your relationship with the Lord. I want to encourage you to lean into it, not just see God as some far away being, the creator of the universe way out there. Jesus starts by telling us, address him as your Father, the one who loves you, the one who cares about you. I'm not comfortable. I've heard people say, well, just call him Daddy. Sounds weird to me, all right? I'm not going to lie to you. Just sounds weird. But hey, that's the relationship he's talking about, right? He wants us to have that kind of relationship with our Heavenly Father, that we can address him and we can find comfort and we can talk to him about the things that we need to talk about. In every relationship, there are subjects that are harder to talk about than others. In this particular passage of Scripture where Jesus is teaching us to pray, he handles some very, very difficult subjects. He doesn't let us off the hook. Frank just called me out a few minutes ago. He said, you always told us to have the hard conversations. And he was referring to a conversation I didn't want to have, all right? And so I said, well, you shouldn't listen to everything I say then, all right? He wants to converse with us about those difficult things. And so we start by saying our Father. There's a comfort level. There's a caring level. There is an investment. A father, a real father, has an investment in his children. He would lay down his life. A good father would not even have to have a discussion if somebody said, the child's life or your life. A good father wouldn't have to look at anybody and say, well, let's talk about it. Let's figure it out. He knows what he would do. So he's trying to encourage us to realize we have that kind of relationship with our Father, which leads us to the second one. Our Father, which art in heaven. And then he says, hallowed be thy name. It's a matter of worship. He's really telling us to lean into worship. Now that you're comfortable with your Father, you need to also realize that this is a moment of worship. It's a moment of worship. Now, there are emergency prayers where you just go, God, I need you to help us. My mama used to pray these prayers, Jesus, 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 Jesus. You knew it was getting serious when she had no other words except Jesus, 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 right? That's an emergency prayer. He's saying in your life, when you're doing life every day, recognize he's your Father, but don't be so comfortable that you forget to worship him, that you forget to honor him. Psalm 103 says, let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. I want to unpack that just for a second. This is Psalm 103, and he says, let all that I am praise the Lord. Let all that I am praise the Lord. Everything I am, every fiber of my being, let it all, everything I have, everything I am, everything I hope to be, let it all praise the Lord with my whole heart, my whole heart. If you've ever been in a relationship with somebody who was in half-hearted, it's no fun. You realize real quick, this is not for me. I need you to be all in. I'm all in. I want you to be all in. The psalmist here says, let all that I am praise the Lord with my whole heart. He's really saying, go all in, everything. Don't hold anything back. Trust him. Now, part of this, he's preparing us for what's about to come. He's saying, worship him. Hallowed, holy is your name. No other names are holy. Your name represents you and my name represents me. And not one time does anybody ever say Patrick and think, this guy's perfect. That's never happened. Now I'm just going to listen. She is wholehearted. All right, there you go. That was a great setup. All right. So she is lying, though. She needs to, she's going to have to repent after this is over. We understand, though, that we're not perfect. And so when we're saying, when it says his name is holy, that we're talking to one, the only one. Hallowed be thy name. We're talking about the only one whose name is holy. So there's this moment of worship. And you got to figure out how that looks for you. David was great. Read anything in the Bible that David wrote. He spent time playing his harp. He spent time singing. He spent time writing songs. He just spent time worshiping, doing. He was just out there worshiping. He had a heart for God. So we start by saying, our Father. And then we go into this moment of worship. And maybe it's a moment. Maybe it's 20 minutes. Doesn't matter. Whatever. There's no time limit. God, I would time my prayers. Okay, I got to pray for 30 minutes. It was miserable. If you love to do that, great. Good on you. I was miserable because I was like, I had one eye on the clock all the time. Because I was like, this is a beating. It's not relationship. Not one time did I go to see the girl who thinks I'm perfect and say, you know, I only got 35 minutes. I got to go. Not one time. As a matter of fact, I was trying to avoid the clock. Like, I don't even want to look at it because I want to stay longer. I don't want to have to leave. And so when you're worshiping, it's not about time. It's about heart. He says, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So he's saying to us, when you're worshiping, just let it come from your whole heart. All right? And it takes time to figure that out, right? You can't just think I'm gonna learn how to pray one day. There are people that I love to hear them pray, man. When they start praying, you're like, my gosh, that's just beautiful and it's amazing and it's eloquent and it's poetic and it's powerful and it's encouraging and all that stuff. And then there's the rest of us who just talk to God and it sounds like we're talking to God. It doesn't matter if it's poetic. David wrote a bunch of the Bible, all right? We'll leave the poetry to him and the few people that know how to. The rest of us are just going to have to do it with our whole heart. And God's going to recognize our heart, not our ability. Okay, so hallowed be your name. So we've got to worship through that. And then the next part says, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. This is where it gets deep. This is where that father-child relationship really starts coming in. He's saying, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now, here's what we're saying. He's telling us that we are supposed to pray God's agenda, not our agenda. The goal is to have a relationship with the Father so that we can pray his will be done. Now, listen, there are times when somebody might say to you, I'll take care of it. And you're like, yeah, but what are you going to do? I need to know how you're going to handle this. Because I know you're telling me you're going to handle it, but I need to know how you're going to handle it. And what we're really saying is, I don't trust you completely. I trust you that you're going to handle it. I don't trust you that you're going to handle it the way I want it handled. Jesus is saying to us here, when we talk to the Father, we're saying, thy kingdom come. The kingdom is just God's will and God's way of doing things, all right? This is where God's influence reigns over our life. That's where God's kingdom is. So thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So we're saying to God, to the Father, I trust you to do it the way you want to do it. And there are times when you just don't know what God's will is. I mean, you're willing, your faith is running high, and you're like, if I knew I was supposed to pray for this gigantic thing, I'd pray for it. I wouldn't even question it. I would just pray for it. But I'm not sure it's God's will. That's why sometimes when we're talking to the Father, we say, I trust you. I got a relationship with you. You've handled everything you ever told me you would handle. You handled it in the right way. So your kingdom come, your way of doing things, your influence, your thoughts, let all that come. Let your perfect will, your perfect plan be done right here on earth. And then we got to think about, what does God value? If we're praying God's agenda, what does he value? What is it that he wants out of us? He wants, if we really want to know, we look at two commandments. Love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. That's where it all starts. So it's love for God, love for each other. And so when we're praying, your kingdom come, your will be done, we're praying, Lord, help me to love you and help me to love others. Help me to love you and build that relationship with you and honor you. And Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey me. So he's saying, I want to obey you, God. I want to honor you. And then I want to love and serve the people around me. Luke 15 is my probably my favorite chapter in the Bible. It's the story of lost things. I every time I read it, I fall in love with it all over again. Maybe because I lose my keys all the time, and that just is what my family actually bought me two of those AirPod. What are they called? AirTags. There you go. Those AirTags for my keys and my wallet, and so I'm dinging all over the house trying to find stuff, and I was a little insulted, to be honest with you, but it was a smart thing. So the stories of the lost things. It was lost coins, lost sheep, and a lost son. It was so important. Lost things were so important to God. And he wanted those things found. So when I'm praying, your kingdom come, your will be done, I'm praying, Lord, I want to love you. I want to love others, and I want to find lost things. I want to care about the things you care about. If it's important to you, I want it to be important to me. Now, the truth is, I will not always get my way if I pray this. We like to get our way, don't we? That's where every squabble comes in. I didn't get my way. Smart man once told me, and I've told you a million times, he said, we get angry when we're afraid we're going to lose something we have or we're not going to get something we want. So I said to him, so you're telling me when we get angry and we lose it, we're just acting like babies. I'm going to lose something out. Because you throw a toy in between two kids, and there's going to be a fight. They may have 50 other toys, but the minute one of them picks it up, there's going to be a fight because they want that one. Because you got something I want, I got something you want. And so when we recognize that letting God have his way is the path to contentment and peace and love and joy and all those things. So we're saying, your kingdom come. I'm going to stop. I'm going to slow down. I have a tendency to get going and go too fast. Is God's kingdom at work in your life? Is his will being done in your life, in my life? Is God having his way in my life? Because thy will be done in earth, it's us, as it is in heaven. He said, the will of God is happening in heaven. Is the will of God happening in my life? And it's a battle, because the Apostle Paul said, I have to die daily. He said, I got to kill that old man. You know, so when I hear, I've told you this many times, as when I hear people say, you just be you and you do you and all that. And it's just like, it's not what the Apostle Paul said. The Apostle Paul said, if I do me, you ain't going to like me. If I do me, I'm not going to be obedient to God. He said, I got to kill the old man, and I got to do this God's way so that his kingdom can come and his will can be done. So when we're praying, we're saying, Father, I trust you. We're saying, Father, I worship you. But we're also saying, Father, I want you to have your way. Which leads us to number four. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Any of y'all, your moms have one of those little plastic, I might be too old, I might be just dating myself, I don't know. So this little plastic loaf of bread that has scriptures, little cards in the top of it. Has anybody seen one of those ever? All right, there's a few old people in here. I'm sorry, Patricia. There's a few of us that saw that, but it would sit on our table, and I think on the side it said daily bread. and it was God's word, right? It was a play on words. So give us this day our daily bread. Lord, the very bread that I need to live, the stuff that I need to live, the food, the shelter, the water, all the stuff that I need to survive. Lord, give me that today. I need it. So we went from saying, Lord, I trust you, Father. Then we went a step further and we worshiped. And then we went a step further and said, God, your will be done. And now we're saying, Lord, finally, here we are to what I want and what I need. So we went through all those three steps before we finally got here. And now we're saying, God, I know that you've already provided. You've promised us that you would provide for us and you would give us what we need. And I'm going to trust you to give us what we need today. Matthew 33 says it this way. Seek the kingdom, Matthew 6:33 says, seek the kingdom of God above all else. Let's stop there. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously and he'll give you everything you need. I mean, that's worth what you paid to get in here tonight right there. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Live righteously and he will give you everything you need. We have this tendency to worry about everything when we really should be thinking about seeking God's kingdom and living righteously, and then he'll add everything we need to the mix. Give us this day. What do you need from the Lord today? What do you need? What do you need? What do you need? I love the old story about the little lady who was praying one day. She's a little old lady, and she was praying so hard, and she was saying, God, I don't have money to buy groceries. Lord, please provide groceries. Lord, give us something to eat. I got to feed my family. And she did that all day, and finally the atheist next door went to the grocery store, bought her a bunch of groceries, rung the doorbell, and sat them in her living room and said, here, lady, you can stop praying. And remember, it wasn't God who brought these groceries to you. It was me. And she said, praise the Lord. God, you provided groceries and you made the devil pay for them. All right? So God will get you what you need. Even the boss that's a jerk and a knucklehead, God will get you what you need. See, we're not clocking in for him or her. We're doing this as unto the Lord. And when we do this the way God wants us to do it, he will provide. If we seek his kingdom and his righteousness, we live righteously, he'll provide all that stuff. God doesn't need your company to provide for you. God doesn't need any of that. God needs us to honor him. Now, a part of honoring him is to work hard. A part of honoring him is to be conscientious, all those things. But if I am not conscientious in where I'm already at, I'm not living righteously, then how can I expect God to take me to the next level? Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day. What do you need from the Lord today? What do you need from the Lord today? He can provide it. He can answer it. He can give it to you. Let's go to the next part. He said, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Another place in scripture, it says, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. You know what he's saying to his disciples? He's saying, hey, look, you're not perfect. So forgive other people. Pray this. Father, forgive me of my trespasses. Forgive me of my debts to you as I forgive others. Don't you hate it when God gives you an if-then statement? It's like, if I do this, then he'll do this, right? And that's exactly what's going on here. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Some of us are praying, God, forgive us, but we haven't forgiven the people who did us wrong yet. And that, I find it interesting that Jesus waited a little bit further down in this prayer to bring this one up. He's making sure we're okay in our relationship with the Father. He's making sure we're worshiping. He's making sure we're trusting God for his will to be done. He's making sure that we trust him to provide all the things that we need in our life. But then he really drills down on our souls. And he's saying, when you pray, check your heart. He's saying, make sure that you don't have bitterness in your heart towards someone else. Make sure you're not. I'm going to take it a little step further than Jesus did, all right? Make sure you're not gossiping and expecting other people not to gossip about you. In another place in the scripture, he says, whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. If you sow bitterness, you're going to reap bitterness. And we got to guard our hearts and make sure. I just read a book recently, and it talked about how that we have this tendency to look at other people and see their faults immediately. We can pick it out. We got a radar. Sometimes we feel good about it. I have a gift, you know? I can pick out all the people with bad character in the room. And we forget that if we're doing that, it reflects on our character. It just reveals what's already in our heart. And so Jesus is saying to us, hey, make sure you need to be forgiven sometimes. But make sure that you're doing some forgiving as well. Make sure that you're not doing this all on your own, thinking that you've got it figured out. Matthew 6 says this, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. I'm going to read that again. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Well, that sounds so good, doesn't it? If you forgive people, then your heavenly Father is going to forgive you. But watch what he says in the next verse. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Can I shorten that? No, I'm not trying to improve on the words of Jesus, but he could have said, if you don't, he won't. If you don't forgive, he won't forgive. It's one of those, again, it's an if-then. If you don't and I don't, he won't. I need his forgiveness. I know you need it. We all need it. We just got to remind ourselves that we're not better than anybody. We messed up. Our past is jacked up just like everybody else's. Our present, we're struggling with something. We're struggling with being angry with somebody, being bitter towards somebody, gossiping about somebody, being slandering somebody. We're all struggling with different things in our life, and we got to be careful that we honor the Lord in forgiving so that we can be forgiven. Somebody say amen. Amen. All right, there you go. Okay, now, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now watch this. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You could say, leave us not in temptation. Ephesians chapter 6 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Now, be strong in the Lord, the power of his might. The temptation, I remember as a young Christian, a young believer, I remember thinking that if I was tempted, I had sinned, I had messed up, right? And I just felt bad all the time. And I finally realized that the temptation is not the sin. The sin happens a step after the temptation when we take the bait, when we go for it, right? So temptation is not the problem. Temptation, we could name a million temptations. Sexual sins, drugs and alcohol, stealing, lust, the temptation to be bitter and angry. We could go on and on down that list. And he says, so you've prayed, Father, I trust you. And now we're getting into some real deep water here. Jesus said, when you're talking to your Father, go ahead and ask him to help you out with that temptation thing. You ever confessed your sin for the first time to another person? It's the scariest thing in the world. Because you're like, I'm the worst loser, sinner in the whole world, and they're going to know it now. But you finally get to that point where you realize, if I don't confess my sins, I'm never going to be healed. I'm just going to continue this cycle over and over and over again for the rest of my life. So I got to confess it to somebody, and you got to work up some courage, and you got to realize you can't keep going in that direction. And finally, you blurt it out, and you say it, and all of a sudden, you're like, woo, that feels so much better. It's out there now. I can leave the closet doors open. I don't have to hide any garbage anymore. I can just let it go, and I can trust the Lord. That's what Jesus is saying to these people. He's saying, trust your Father and talk to him and ask him for his help. The temptation is not the sin. The sin, giving into the temptation, is the sin. And here's the problem. The Bible says that none of us is tempted above what we're able to bear. None of us are tempted above what we're able to bear. But it's also saying it in the context of God's help. We have to trust him to help us in our daily life, because we will lose every time if we don't have his help. So what do you need help with? What are you struggling with? This is that moment in this scripture where God is dealing, Jesus is dealing very directly with our character. You see, he's dealt with worship and all that, and now he's gotten to, I want you to pray about your physical needs. But in verse 12 and verse 13, he starts dealing very deeply with our character. He says prayer is, there's so much going on in prayer about your character. God's not just interested in meeting your needs, physical needs. That's usually the stuff we pray about. He wants to develop our character. I look at most of life as some sort of a timeline, like, okay, am I a step farther than I used to be? It might be 2024, but have I progressed from back there? Am I progressing now? What is my next step? I got to make it simple. I'm not smart enough to complicate things. So to me, it's you just got to be moving in the right direction. And in verses 11 and 12, I'm sorry, 12 and 13, he's dealing with us moving forward. He wants to deal with our character. And he has set us up by saying, you're talking to your father. He's saying, God's dealing with your character in the scope of relationship. It's not a principle with a paddle. That dates me too, doesn't it? I used to know the principle very well. And I listen, there was no relationship. I knew his name, Mr. Box and Mr. Mathis. That's what I knew. I didn't know anything else about him except they had a paddle. And I met the paddle a few times and I didn't like it. There was no relationship. I mean, I got stories that I can't even tell y'all. But anyway, one time I walked in there and Mr. Mathis, he would go to jail for what happened to me that day today. It's not true. That's not true. But he did. He gave me a serious paddling. And I don't even know if he said anything to me as I was leaving. But you know what I figured out? I don't ever want to talk to him again. I don't even like him anymore. And the other principal was Mr. Box. And I walked in one day and a teacher had sent me to get a paddling. And he was, I guess he knew the teacher pretty well, and he was kind of put out with her, I think. And he said, all right, bend over the desk, and he does this with the paddle. Gives me pats. And I stood up and I was like, what in the world? I was in the eighth grade. And I was thinking, what just happened? And I started to walk out and he goes, hey, don't you be coming back in here no more. And I was like, yes, sir. All right. I do not want a relationship with you. Now, listen, I knew, but I got punished by my parents. There was a relationship. It was character building. I didn't really care what Mr. Mathis and Mr. Box thought. As a matter of fact, I walked out of their office, didn't care about my reputation, my character, nothing. I just knew I didn't want to go back. But I got punished by my parents along the way, and I knew there was a relationship. I knew they had my best interest at heart, even though I didn't like the punishments. I knew they had my best interest at heart. Jesus is saying, start this off recognizing this is your father. But along the way, he's going to correct those character things. He's going to develop you, and he's going to turn you into something different than you started. He's going to help you. He's going to forgive you of your debts, but he's going to help you release all the trespasses that are being against you. He's going to lead. He's going to lead you out of temptation. He's not going to leave you there. It says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. He's saying, pray that your Father, who loves you deeply, will move you out of those moments, would deliver you from those evil moments, would develop your character. Verse 7 says, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The kingdom and the power and the glory. Boy, we could hang out here for a whole sermon series. The kingdom, the power, glory. He's back to saying, trust God as the Almighty. It's his kingdom, his power, his glory. He is sovereign. He is in charge. He is in control. He is all powerful. He is all knowing. He is ever present. His kingdom, his power, his glory. So you're not just talking to somebody. You're talking to the Father who's in charge of all of it. that we don't connect this every time we pray, but we're talking not only to the one who's in charge, but the one who created it all, the one who made it, that is from the beginning and will be to the end. Prayer is kind of the conductor of our blessing, the blessings of God. Prayer is like the wire between the switch and the light. When you turn it on, that's what brings the blessings of the Lord into our life, prayer. Let me just share a couple things here. God has set a table for us, and prayer is like pulling up a chair. Some of us are not pulling a chair up enough, wondering why we're not developing our character, wondering why our needs are not met. We're not pulling up the chair of prayer along the way. Arrogance will make us say, I got it figured out, I can do it. Here's the problem with that: God will get our attention, because God wants us to depend on Him. I love what somebody said one time: if you beat the devil on prayer meeting night, you beat him every other day of the week. If you beat the devil in prayer, you win. Prayer's kind of the labor room of our lives. It's not fun, but man, there's a lot of benefits there. That's where the results come from. The power of the church is not in methodologies and plans. The power of the church is in prayer. When we pray, stuff happens.